Hi, I'm Chad Hughes, and you're listening to Elevated Access, the Inside Story. This episode, I met with Dana Morgan, an owner and leader at Brit Radius. Dana and I talk about evolution, hers personally, the industries, and her business. Dana shares how early mentorship and the right resources helped her early on in her career and throughout. She shares insights on how the complexity of the work we do has grown and leaves advice throughout the episode on how to be successful in doing this work. She shares how being her authentic self and how vulnerability elevated her business and the trajectory that her business was on. She shares how important this is as a leader. Tune in now to hear more of the conversation with Dana. Dana, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chad.
So today I'm really excited to talk with you about your journey. And I think our theme today is around evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I discussed in planning for our time together today, I think what we realized is that there's several layers to this conversation around evolution. And we're going to lean into that together today. And I'm excited for you to share from your perspective how things have evolved for you in your career. So to kick us off, let's start by hearing about your background.
Sure, that sounds great. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm excited about this conversation. So my background, you know, I think myself, like many in the land profession, we kind of just fell into it, not knowing what we were getting into. So I started working at Brit, which is where I am now, one of the owners of Brit. I started working when I was going to university, and really it was supposed to be a summer job. Friend of a friend got me the position, and it was supposed to be a few months. Did those few months and went back to U of C. You know, I was going to university not knowing really what I wanted to do with my life, not really seeing a clear direction for me. But I knew I loved what I had just done at Brit. I liked the work that we were doing. Great team, great company. So I had the opportunity to continue working full time. So left university. My mentor and the founder of Brit, Ray Ramsey, said, you know what? If you want to come on board, I'll show you the ropes. And so he took me under his wing, and for the next few years, I learned all about the business, all about what it meant to be in land. I took continuing ed courses through Mount Royal College at the time, and then continued upwards from there.
It's funny because you're probably the third or fourth, at least, person that's been on the podcast that has a similar story to their beginning, like a similar beginning of kind of fell into this type of work. What was it about the work that created enough curiosity for you to not continue down the path of school and dive right into land work?
Yeah, I you know what? I think it was this nice combination of people-focused work and really detailed work as well. I'm a process person, a planner. So, you know, the work that we were doing required a lot of, you know, a lot of detail, a lot of attention to detail, understanding regulations. All those pieces really spoke to me. And then getting to work, you know, not only with a great team internally, but also experiencing what it meant to work with communities and landowners and that people aspect of the business. So it's just a really, really good combination, I think, for my skill sets and interests. And then having some really great mentors as well along the way just got me really excited about it.
So who stands out for you as those people that mentored you and helped you along the way?
You know, when I started my career, and of course, growing up, my parents were really influential, and I've got really compassionate and strong parents. So I always think that they laid the foundation. And then as I got into my career, so I'll do a shout out to Monica Coxall. She was definitely one of the mentors for me. She was working at our company at the time. So I did a lot of my training and mentorship under her. And then with Ray, with the founder of our company, he was instrumental in what I learned and what I got exposed to, challenging me early on, which, you know, just gave me a real desire to keep learning more and more.
I'm curious about the influence that Ray, the founder of Brit, had on your interest in the role. You mentioned him as an obvious mentor to you. And a couple of things, I'm curious to know a little bit more about what kind of influence he had, and then also how that might have led to some of your, you know, principles or philosophies that you started to develop early on in your career.
Yeah, when I think about my beginning of my career and what Ray was able to coach me on, to mentor me on, I mean, a lot of it was the work itself and understanding the work that we were doing, a lot of the technical aspects of it and regulatory and compliance aspects of it. But I think that what I got the most out of his mentorship was, as you mentioned, some of the principles that he instilled. And one of the main ones for me is I was never able to go to him with a question when I hadn't already thought of what the solution could be. That was a big one. You know, if I ever went into his office and said, I need help with this, or I'm not understanding this, the first thing out of his mouth was, okay, well, what do you think? And if I hadn't come prepared with something, some sort of idea of a solution, then it was a very short conversation. So, you know what, that was tough learning sometimes and not always comfortable, especially as I'm, you know, new into the industry, but it was a massive teaching moment and something that I've carried through with me and how I approach work and how I try and coach and mentor our team as well. So that was definitely one of them. I think Ray also was great at explaining that very, very few things in our work were black and white. There was a lot of gray, a lot of different ways of looking at a problem or a challenge or a project. And so to not approach things always in the same manner. You know, I think the last thing that was really important that Ray showed me was having fun in the work that we're doing and in a team and, you know, being on the service side of the industry. Sometimes you're, you know, high pressure, tight deadlines, meeting client needs, and there needs to be an element of fun in there. So, you know, a lot of people that knew Ray personally knew he definitely had that side to him. Maybe it wasn't evident for all, but we had a lot of laughs around the office as well.
Those are great. I mean, there's some good nuggets there. Your first example, I think of the resourcefulness required to enjoy this type of work. And, you know, we all have worked with people that have more of an innate ability in being resourceful, just innately resourceful, and it certainly helps them. And I think the other is uncertainty. There's the gray area in the work that we do. It sort of creates a layer of uncertainty, and it's being able to manage that. And again, that's not for everybody either, but there's a band of us weirdos out there that thrive on that kind of an environment, and thankfully so.
That's right.
Let's talk about the industry and how it's evolved. And I wonder if you could just highlight some of the key things that you've seen change along the way of your career.
Sure. Well, when I think about our industry, the core industry that Radius has been in and is still heavily involved in today is the oil and gas industry. But I think in terms of industry now is the energy industry, and the energy industry, the infrastructure industry that our land profession serves. And so lots of changes in all those different sectors. But I think, you know, the biggest one is just the complexity of what it takes to get a project to fruition. You know, I think back 15, 20 years, it was most projects you could complete with use of a checklist, right? You had your checklist of things you needed to do. You had a solid land agent that could go out and negotiate an agreement, and you were off to the races. And the layers involved now in the regulatory landscape, in what landowners are looking for, what communities are looking for, it's complex. So that's, you know, I think just high level, the biggest change and evolution I've seen. And I think a big part of that complexity is the human element of projects. You know, there's always been for land access that need for good negotiation and being able to come to agreement with your landowner. The human element is now becoming, again, just this more complex risk and also an opportunity on a project as well. I mean, you've got communities, you've got stakeholders, you have Indigenous communities that are really interested and empowered and want to be part of the process. So again, just another layer on top of what is needed to get land access and get project approval.
So true. I think back to when I first started in the industry and what worked in terms of, I'd say, my own ability, well, partly communication skills, but also partly the type of information I was bringing in front of stakeholders and the way in which we did it too. And it's changed so much. And I'm not sure that, I guess, depending on the type of resource that you're developing, you may or may not, as a developer, be fully aware of how the complexities have grown.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you say, like, I heard a couple of things there. One, from an administrative standpoint, but that's probably underplaying it a little bit. Would you say that the technical interpretation of regulatory guidelines and also, let's just say, situations, would you say that has changed since your start in the industry?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I mean, I think back to, you know, the regulations that we were faced with, complying with at the time, really were, as I mentioned, more of a checkbox, you know, pretty laid out pretty well. There was always a bit of interpretation needed, but for the most part, a fairly straightforward process. And I think what we're dealing with now in industry is expanded regulations, of course, but also at times overlapping regulations, looking at where we are now with some of the new energy and energy transition space. You have companies that are themselves looking to be, you know, doing a conventional oil and gas development project combined with a carbon capture project, or maybe they're looking into some renewables. And so you have all these different kind of components of a project now that each have their own set of regulations. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of some of our regulators. That would be hard position to be in to try and streamline that process, because there's, I think, quickly in the last few years become almost a convergence of these energy developments and different types of development where regulations that you're faced with on one project actually might be 10, whereas before it was 2 that you had to follow and comply with. So lots of layers, lots of complexity that way as well. And then the interpretation, I think, of legislation too. We've seen shifts in regulators where they're almost, you know, putting more of the onus on the developer to ensure they're doing things the way that they should be, versus before you could always have a check and balance. You might be able to, you know, phone up your contact at a regulator and say, am I going about this properly? We've seen a shift where regulators are now sort of saying, okay, here's the guidelines, here's the regulation. we trust that you're going to do what you need to do. And there's a little less policing. So potentially a little more freedom, but also onus on the developer to make sure that they're doing what they need to and knowing what regulations they need to follow.
How do you think that's changed? If you think about the skill set required to do well in this role, we know that resourcefulness and being comfortable with a bit of uncertainty is part of that. What else do you think, based on what you've described, is kind of an additional skill set that you're seeing is just an absolute must in order to do this kind of work?
I think coupled with resourcefulness, a sense of curiosity as well is really an important attribute. And then I think, you know, a certain level of detail, and, you know, you had mentioned the administration side of the work that we do. And I think that is really becoming more and more important. The expectation that there's backup, that there is records, that there, you know, is a paper trail on what's being done. Whereas before, you might have been able to get away with a handshake deal or, you know, coming to terms on something, and there was a level of trust that that's what was going to be executed on. We're now seeing pressure from regulators and also just expectations from communities and landowners that, you know, doing what you say you're going to do means making sure you have a record of that, and that record is being followed and it's being tracked, and it's visible for project development teams to know what was agreed to and by who and when is it going to be done. So just that level of record keeping and tracking issues and commitments, I think, is a really important part and definitely a skill set that, again, not all of us have, and those that do, they're playing an important part of development projects.
You know, you've been in this industry long enough to know what it was like 20 years ago, how roles were filled. I'll stick my head a little bit out the window on this and suggest that the industry at one time was probably fairly male dominant when it came to some of the external facing roles like the field work. And I just, you know, as a leader in the industry, I'd love to hear your perspective on how you've seen that change over the duration of your career.
It's definitely true. I mean, there in the past, the energy industry was, at least for certain roles, definitely been more male dominant. And for us, we found ourselves in kind of an interesting scenario when myself and Brittany had to take over the business from Ray. We had to step back fairly quickly from the business. And at the time, we were still fairly young in our careers and women, and being tasked with running a business where, you know, all of our competition was men. And so being kind of the only women led company at the time was a bit intimidating, a bit challenging. Definitely had some great supporters that helped us through that. But I've seen, you know, not only from our perspective as women leaders in the industry, but you know, just certain roles as well that traditionally had been male dominant, being, you know, in the field, land agents, negotiators. We've definitely seen a drastic change in the last 10 years or so, where that's opened up and gender roles are definitely been broken down. And I think for the betterment of everyone, I mean, obviously more opportunity for women is fantastic, but I think companies have really seen the benefit of that as well. The diversity of perspectives and what, you know, different people can bring to a role or to an organization. So yeah, there has been a lot of change in that area in the last 10 years or so.
It's certainly enhanced our business. Like, and I'm not suggesting that we've all of a sudden been hiring more females to do the work we do, but I would say that there's a greater awareness of how well having a balanced group of leaders and decision makers, how how that complements what we do as a whole. I do think that the awareness piece around that has been a benefit, because I think we're just paying attention to it more, and it's certainly been helpful for our business. You've kind of given us a nice segue into the next part that I wanted to talk about in the context of evolution, and that is with the evolution of your business. And you mentioned taking the reins with Brittany and Brianne. Tell us more about that, and just maybe point us to some of the key things that you have seen with respect to the evolution of Brit.
Yeah, our company has been around since 1986, so currently in our 35th year. 12, 13 years ago, Ray had to step back from the business for health reasons, and it was challenging because we all of a sudden had to, step into roles that we weren't familiar with. I mean, frankly, we didn't necessarily know how to run a business. We knew how to do the work. We knew what good work was, but running a business was a whole other layer that we just had not been exposed to yet. So we very quickly had to learn how to read a balance sheet and what an income statement was and all those business aspects. But I think more importantly, what we learned in that transition was the importance of being true to who we were as leaders. Because for the first, the first few years after Ray stepped back, we tried to be him. He had run a very successful business, and we thought, okay, well, we need to do the same. We need to be the same. And we tried that for a few years, and it was not serving us well. We not being being true to who we were as individuals was not enjoyable for us. I don't think it was overly enjoyable for our team, and potentially clients were feeling that as well. So we had a bit of a pivotal moment where we kind of agreed, okay, if we're going to keep doing this, we need to do it our way. We need to honor our legacy, the legacy of Ray and the foundation of our business, and really figure out who we were and what was going to make this successful. So just having that realization was a key moment. From there, really leaned on business coaches and surrounded ourselves with like-minded people who could help us on that journey and our leadership journey. And with that, I think a lot of vulnerability, discovering what our own, values were as individuals and how we brought that to the company. And we quickly saw a really positive turn of events there. We had some people that we didn't align with, and that was okay. But, for the most part, we had a fantastic team that got behind us. And the more that we opened up and embraced who we were as individuals, as women leading this company, we saw some really positive impact and positive change. So I think, the our business evolution, it has a lot to do around leadership evolution and being comfortable with who you are and what you can bring to the table.
How do you think it's helped you if you look at the business you have today and that leadership component that you talk about, female led company, how do you think it's helped you?
Well, we made a pretty, purposeful and specific intention quite a few years ago around what we wanted the culture of our organization to be. And, a lot of people think, well, okay, so having a great culture means a great place to work and a solid team. And we knew that, and it starts to have this ripple effect to beyond the walls of your own organization. I mean, having a culture where people can show up as who they are, as individuals, and bring their whole self to work. Having an organization that is purpose-driven, that really holds true to their values, that there's a sense of vulnerability from the leadership team. That was huge for us. And all those pieces that when they start to work together and you start to have this solid team, then your clients start to feel it. And the communities that you live and work in start to feel it. So this impact that you know, originally we focused on, well, we just wanted to make sure that we had a great place to come every day and a happy team, and we wanted to be happy. But then you start to see that, again, that ripple effect that can go even beyond the walls of your organization. And that's served us really well. We've, you know, been able to attract some great people, and both in terms of team and clients, and be really aligned working with companies that have similar values. And you just create a stronger kind of working relationship and partnership with clients. So it's been pretty exciting to be a part of.
What surprised you the most that with the success found from just going, you know what, we're going to just be ourselves and we're going to honor this business and the history of this business, but we're going to do it our way. And there's, you know, you've described a lot of successes in that. What surprised you most?
You know, I think I was surprised with what being vulnerable meant and what could be achieved with that. Because I think for a lot of people, when you think about vulnerability as a person, as a leader, that means shedding some armor and exposing yourself. And that can be scary. And sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. But I think surprisingly, what we found was as we became more open and vulnerable ourselves and with our team, then you see that reciprocated, and you see team members and the people around you say, yeah, you know what, I'm tired of wearing this mask as well, or I'm tired of pretending to be something that I'm not. And you know, I felt that for a number of years where I felt like I had to have all of the answers in the moment. You know, maybe a sense of perfectionism. It's definitely been a part of me, and it's a heavy weight to carry. And so when you get to shed some of that, I mean, there's an opportunity for your true self to come through. And I think, you know, I saw that transition in myself personally, and then we were able to create a culture where, again, that the team was able to show up and bring their whole selves to the work and to their life, and that was pleasantly surprising, for sure.
Sort of goes against what we're led to believe, I think. I love your mention of the armor. Armor is heavy. You know, it's heavy to wear, weighs you down, and appropriate vulnerability is something that's not always easy to find or create. But we're sort of taught and led to believe that we have to be tough, and maybe it's our generation, I'm not sure, but thank you for sharing that. I think go ahead.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's some we're often taught that, especially getting into the business world, you know, taught to have a certain amount of toughness, and vulnerability can still mean being tough at times. It just, I think it means being more real, and it also allows, you know, curiosity to have more of a space to grow as well. And going back to what we're talking about being, you know, resourceful and curious in the work that we're doing, I think, you know, being vulnerable almost allows more of a space for that to flourish as well, rather than just being focused on having the right answer or pretending that we have the right answer at times. And we just need to be a little more curious and resourceful.
I think you've shared some really good little nuggets there of wisdom for our listeners, regardless of where you're at in your career. Sometimes the thickest armor is at the leadership level. And so hopefully this resonates with some of our peers when they listen to it. I want to talk a little bit about the future. So we're seeing things continue to evolve in our industry. You as a person have had to adapt to that. Your business has had to adapt to that. What do you see continuing to change in our industry? And what do you think that means for access professionals and even those that want to develop projects?
You know, I think, first of all, touching on the topic of change and evolution, for a lot of people, that's scary, you know, and it's a lot of unknowns. You know, for many, it's just, you know, trying to hold true of what has always been is most comfortable. But evolution for me is exciting. I mean, I think for those that know me well, know I don't do well being stagnant. And I like to, you know, take something good and make it great. And so right now, I mean, in land access, in development projects, there is so much changing. And I think a couple of things that stand out for me is the human element that is going to be needed to be looked at and considered on development projects is just going to become more and more important. Where whether that's the landowners themselves and how we work with them, the communities that we're in, stakeholders that are impacted, Indigenous communities, you know, the human element, and we've seen this in recent years when that's not considered and not done well, can really, I mean, cause huge project delays, if not stopping a project altogether. So I think the way that communities are engaged, so that whole engagement piece is going to become more and more important. The skill set needed for a land professional or someone in the land access business is, you know, still needing great negotiators and those that can negotiate a fair deal, and also know how to work with communities, know how to consult and communicate and listen and understand values and be able to weave that into the development of a project. I think that's going to be a non-negotiable going forward. So it's tough. The human element is not always black and white, and that's hard for people, but I mean, it's a great opportunity as well. So I think that's definitely something I see as an important element. And then there's going to be a need for continuous learning and continuous education as this energy space transitions, as different types of, you know, infrastructure and transportation projects are coming to fruition. There's a lot of new. So making sure that there's good mentorship, coaching, legacy professionals having an opportunity to pass down their knowledge is, I think, going to be really, really key for these next few years.
It's such a fine balance to you talk about. Now, you've mentioned it a couple times. I think the complexity around stakeholder community engagement, and, you know, at the end of the day, we're generally representing an industry of some type, and there's just this delicate balance between almost representing both parties to a degree. We know who we work for, but we also have to be mindful of the rapport we're trying to build for those people. And it's a delicate balance, I would say. Your own, when it comes to your own evolution, and growth and mentorship, how do you see yourself continuing to evolve? Where and how do you see yourself evolving within the mentorship that you're receiving?
Yeah, you know what? The mentorship piece, I think for me, was lost for a few years. You know, I had a great mentorship in Ray, and then there was a number of years in my career where I really tried to go at it alone in a way, and that could be a bit exhausting, to be honest. So surrounding myself with people that I can not only learn from, but also share experiences with is really important. So a few things for me that kind of keep me ahead that way is having some great coaches. You know, we always work with business coaches, which is just a fantastic resource. Someone that can bring an external perspective to what you're doing. You know, be able to check you on things, hold you accountable is really important. And then I've also found a lot of benefit in peer mentorship as well. And whether that's, you know, informal with a friend, with someone in industry. For myself, I've been part of a peer mentorship business owners group for a number of years as well. And it's just an opportunity to get together, you know, regularly to share experiences and be able to help each other out. So for me, that mentorship piece will continue to be important. You know, and I think surrounding myself with, again, like-minded people, having a great team to support. And I mean, I'm really excited about this, but where our industry is going and be able to learn and just keep that education going. I mean, I don't think we're ever too old to be learning new things. So that excites me as well, just those growth opportunities.
That absolutely resonates with me as well. A person's willingness or desire to grow is oftentimes what separates those that continue to adapt to the times and those that have a harder time adapting. And, you know, it's obvious to, I think, anyone in the industry that knows you and your company, it'll be obvious to them that there is an undercurrent of growth and learning and adaptation over there in your organization. What advice would you give somebody wanting to get into this profession?
I would say, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about today is approaching things with a level of curiosity and resourcefulness. I mean, not expecting things to be black and white, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And, you know, whether that's in a leadership journey or whether that's negotiating with a landowner or dealing with a regulator, I mean, there's just that seems to be a fairly constant in the work that we do there's areas that might be a bit uncomfortable that you have to work through that aren't totally laid out in black and white. And that's what also makes it really exciting and interesting. There's, I don't think there's ever been a dull moment, a dull day in my 22 years of doing this.
How about from a project developer standpoint, any tidbits of advice you'd want to share with them?
I think it goes back to what we were talking about with the human element on projects. I definitely believe that refer to them as non-technical risk, kind of the social risk piece of projects is going to be a very material risk and very real risk to projects. So for developers to really understand what that looks like, and each project is unique and one size doesn't fit all. So being able to have a strong team that can analyze what that looks like, be proactive with engaging appropriately and to certain levels, your stakeholders and communities that you're in, I think is really gonna, companies that do that well and do that right are gonna be successful.
That's definitely a theme that I've heard and it makes sense. But other guests that are well embedded in what we do often have something similar to share. In closing, this has been great, Dana. In closing, tell our audience what you're most excited about.
I am excited about, you know, the continuation of serving industries that are evolving. I mean, I think that evolution for me is just really, really holds a lot of opportunity, and being in a position to work with various companies and help them navigate through what may be a bit of muddy waters for the next bit when we look at everything that's changing. To me, that's quite exciting to be able to be in a position to work with fantastic companies and developers that need help to navigate through.
That's great. It is an exciting time in this industry and the energy space and the access space, the work we do. It is quite exciting. The change that we're seeing is creating a lot of that, I think. Mm-hmm. Dana, thanks for coming on the show today. I think our guests are going to appreciate your story, your journey, and I think they're going to come away with some good little nuggets of wisdom, because you shared a number of good points here throughout, and definitely some themes that I think will be heard as people listen. So thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Chad. This was an enjoyable conversation. We always have enjoyable conversations, and thanks for the opportunity to be on with you today.
Absolutely. Okay. Bye for now.